Praise God. Well, this morning we're going to preach, and we're going to preach a message. Please turn to two places, Philippians 3, 2 Corinthians 5. You can flip to 2 Corinthians 5, put a marker, and then flip over to Philippians 3. 2 Corinthians 5, put a marker, and then go to Philippians 3. You know, for this year, I'm not one much on resolutions because they get broken. I don't make anything. Well, I'm going to work out 5 hours a day. I'm going to stick to that. No, you're not. That won't happen. I'm going to stop eating chocolate. That's not going to happen for me, right? But this is my thought for our team that runs this church, for the activities that are in this church, and for me personally. Me personally. I'm not looking to add new things. I'm not looking to take on more stuff. We as a church are not looking to add more things. But please get this. What we do, we're going to do better. What we do, we're going to do exceptional. Listen, we started this ministry with a spirit of excellence. What we do, we will do excellent. And gang, we're going to look at this and what we do, every area, from the coffee bar to the back room to the prayer meeting to the entering the parking lot. Everything we do, we're looking to do better. That's our whole deal for this year. Me personally, everything I do, I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better preacher. Everything I do this year, I'm not adding new, but what I do, I want to do better. I want to do exceptional. Gang, please know this. When you do things exceptional, that takes work. Anybody can go middle of the road. We will not be middle of the road. We will be exceptional. And exceptional takes work. Every one of our kids, we're taking out to a time of eat this week, and we're going to go over Carter, Olivia, and Ethan. We're going to sit down with them individually. See, this is the gifts that we see in you. We have a list of how we see you're going to improve those. And they know this. They're making their own list. And I'm hoping that the ways that they plan on improving it matches my list. Because they're going to do the list we give them, they're on that. So they're hoping it matches as well. But man, we know our kids and we look at our children. We look at the individual gifts that God has given them. And I look at little Ethan. Even Carter said, Ethan's just fun. I said, we're going to be better at fun. That's what we're going to do. And man, we look at this, folks, and in you individually, and me as your pastor, and in this church, and the board, and the leaders of this church, what we do, 2014, we are going to do exceptional, and we're going to do better than what we've done. I tell you what, the honest truth is what we've done has been pretty darn amazing, because God's hand's been on this. To go within 5 years to go to about 500 people is mind-blowing in this region, and this is the first inning. This is the start, folks. It's incredible what's taking place. And this year, I'm asking you to get this message. The title of this message is Press On and Take Hold. Press On and Take Hold. We're going to get into this and we're going to recognize this week and next week. This week, we're going to talk about the one thing that Paul, the Apostle Paul, said that he does. The one thing I do, forget what lies behind, reach forward to what lies ahead. I press on to the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's the one thing that Paul, listen, the man gave us almost half the New Testament. I would pay attention to one thing he did. And then next week, we're going to talk about the one thing that David desires. The man after God's heart. The one thing that he desired. Psalm 27. Read that thing. Read it this week. Devour Psalm 27 because we're going to bust it open next week. And the one thing that David desired was to be in the presence of his God. Could you imagine if that was our absolute desire of 2014, just to be in the very presence of God here and at home. And at work, and in your car, and in your family devotions, the very presence of God shows up. Where two or three are gathered, He is in the midst. Incredible. And now personally, with Christ living in us, we can cry out to God, knowing that He inclines His ear, and He hears us, and God draws near. For those who will draw near to Him, God will come close to you. Amazing. That was the one desire of the man after God's own heart. But that's next week. So hallelujah. Let's bust out this week. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word, God, that you would speak directly into the heart of man today. God, that we would see this, Father. We'll walk in victory this year through the sufferings, through the victories, through the ups, through the downs. That God, regardless of what everything, anything that is thrown our way, God, if we get this message, if we hear from you today and we plant this in our hearts, God, we will not be the same.
God, we will not be the same. We will have a year that's full of victory, even in the midst of suffering and pain. We will have a year, God, if we get this, if we truly understand what it takes to forget what is behind, what it takes to reach forward for what lies ahead. God, and to recognize that we will press, full court press. God, we will aggressively go after the goal and the prize of the upward call of Christ. Hallelujah. Father, let us get it this morning. God, I'm asking that you would come to a place in our lives today to speak to us, God. God, give us an ear to hear from you. Give us an eye to see exactly what we need to see. Maybe you came in this place this morning, you're saying, God, I need to hear from you. God, I need a situation that has changed. God, I need a word from you today. God, I came in begging you to speak to me. And have an ear to hear, please. God, speak to our lives. We're not here to play church. God, we're here to hear from you and encounter the absolute true living God. And you will change our lives today. Please, folks, please take a minute that you would ask God, God, speak to me. God, I have an ear to hear. I came hungry today. I want to hear from you. Speak to my heart. Speak to my life. God, drill me today. Help me hear it today. And I will respond. God, I'll respond to what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, Philippians 3. The main portion of this is the one thing I do, verse 13, forget what lies behind. Reaching forward. This word reaching is an aggressive word. Reaching forward to what lies ahead. And he says this, I press on, another aggressive word. I am aggressively pursuing with an aggressive, active pursuit. That's what that means. I will press on. I will be active and aggressive in my pursuit. That's what press on means. I will press on toward the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. Now listen, you got to understand that people love this verse, but they miss the verses beforehand. Many people can quote that verse, but they miss. How was it that Paul comes to this to say, I will forget what was behind? You got to recognize who Paul was, Saul. Paul was one of great authority. Saul was one of great authority. Saul was one of great power. Saul was one of great social status. Saul answered to the highest officials. Saul got word from the highest officials to go out and persecute and take out the church. And then he had an experience on the road to Damascus where Christ himself encountered Saul. Knocked Saul off his donkey onto his own donkey to get his attention. Blinded him with a bright light. And said, listen, hey, I'm the one you're persecuting. Why are you persecuting me? And Saul became Paul. Giving up all the authority. Giving up all the social status. Giving up all the finances. Giving up his position to go to a place to get whipped. Go to a place to be stoned and left for dead. Go to a place to be shipwrecked. That was now his life. Go to a place to be in prison. He's writing this from prison, folks. That I would forget what lies behind. And I will reach forward. I mean, what kind of future is he thinking? He's been stoned, whipped, beaten, left for dead, shipwrecked, and he's in jail. And I am reaching forward to what's ahead. You would think, man, what could be ahead for this dude? Like, how is he finding joy? How is he finding peace? How is he coming to a place to pumped about what's ahead for him? Because he had the right perspective of who Christ was and the reality of what laid ahead for him. You got to understand this. Please know this. The word forgetting here, it means to lose from your mind. It means to neglect. Now, a lot of times you think the word neglect is not. If you neglect your animals, they will die. If I neglect the fish, they'll be floating upside down next week, and that'd be a real stinky week for everybody because everything in the tank, dead things stink. Just didn't know you knew that, but just so you know, when you neglect something, it dies. See, in this word forgetting, it means to neglect. It means to let it die. It means to pay no more attention to lose it from your mind. Again, please know this, that takes work.
Please know, if I am going to truly come to a place where Paul was, to forget the social status, to forget the good days, to forget the whippings, to forget the beatings, to forget the shame, so that I have a mind that I can reach forward to what's ahead. That takes work. The enemy, it might be that you need to forget sin. It might be that you need to forget the shame. You might need to forget the fear of man, or the fear of the unknown, or the fear of change, or the fear of absolute committing to what Christ. Something has to give. And it's going to take work, because the enemy, he will slam you, and he will slam you, and he will slam you. And in order for you to neglect it, you have to say, nope, in Jesus' name, that's covered. Nope, in Jesus' name, I got a future. Nope, in Jesus' name, I'm not going to be alone. Nope, in Jesus' name, he is my covering. Nope, and it takes work to neglect it. It takes work to leave it alone, out of your mind. It takes work to pay no attention to it, folks.
Now look at the verses before this, starting in verse 10. That I may know him. That's Christ. See, in order to forget what is behind and reach forward to what is ahead and to press on to the goal is the target, folks. It's the prize. It's everything we live for. He says that I may know him. This word know, it means to experientially, personally have knowledge of. To know. I know my wife. I have experienced my wife. I know and understand Renee. I don't just know her from afar, like, oh, like we can see people on the news and think that we know. Well, yeah, of course I know the news guy. I see him every week. You don't know him or her. You have a knowledge of what they do, but you don't know them. I know my wife. And this is the exact word that I know Christ. I've experienced personally the love of Jesus, and I'm in relationship with him. I know him. Look at this. That I may know him in the power of resurrection and the fellowship of a suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain, that I may accomplish or achieve the resurrection from the dead. Look at where his mindset is, folks. Not that I've already obtained it, or I've already become perfect, but I press on. I am aggressively pursuing with great action. Now look at this. So that I may lay hold, gang. Understand what this means. That I may lay hold. I may make my own. I may seize. That's what it means. To press on and to take hold. He says, listen, I am pressing on towards Christ. I'm aggressively pursuing Jesus. And I am making him my own. I am seizing Christ. This is amazing. Which also, I was laid hold of by him. Please see that. He says, Christ has made me his own. So I can make him my own. He has seized me. He has taken hold of me. So that I can take hold of him. And this is the foundation, folks. Please hear this. He says, because my foundation is Christ, because I am actively pursuing Jesus, I can forget what is behind. Now, please don't miss this. Look at what this is. There's two things. And verse 11 gives us the other one. In resurrection from the dead. And then verse 14, I press on. I aggressively go after the goal for the prize. Okay, Christ came, put himself on a cross, died for all mankind, that you and I may know him. Folks, what's our hope? The Bible over and over tells us what our hope is. What is the absolute prize of a believer? The Bible says, man, this life you live is a dot. It is a speck. It is a breath. It is a shadow. That's your life. So what is the absolute prize? Knowing that we are people who live eternity, whether heaven or hell. What is the absolute prize of what Christ has done? That we would have an eternity with him in a place called heaven. Forever and ever and ever. And man, you ask a teenager how long forever is, and they're thinking forever, okay? They're thinking, oh, man, I got such a long life. You ask somebody who's 80 about their life, and they're thinking, I'm ready to go home. And in all of that, from zero to going home, God says a breath. So the prize, man, where is his mindset in jail? Where is his mindset after the beatings?
Where was his mindset after the whippings? Where was his mindset after being left for dead? Where was his mindset after leaving that whole life that he once lived to sacrifice and give up everything to gain Christ? Where was his mindset? Heaven. What was he reaching forward for, folks? Heaven. See, if you want to forget what was behind and you want to aggressively pursue that which is ahead, then he tells us you have to be aggressively pursuing, pressing on to Christ. Folks, this year, I want you to know what it is to seek him. I want you to know what it is to come to a place to have such an intimate, deep prayer life that you know that you are in absolute commune with God. That your knees are getting ruffled and your jeans are wearing out in a place where you're bowing before him day after day after day after day. On your face. First thing we do when we get out of bed, get on our face and cry out to Almighty God. Building that relationship with him. Having that deep relationship. Seeking him. Aggressively going after him. Pressing on to Christ. And that you know that he is my shelter. He is my shield. He is my redeemer. I live because he lives. I have life because he is the light of the world. And there is light within me. And darkness can't touch me because he is the light of life. And he reigns within me. Therefore, he is taking me out of the kingdom of darkness and put me and transform me into the kingdom of light. That's who I cry out to day after day after day after day on my face before. What happened, folks, this year, 2014? If you understand what it is to press on in Christ, and to aggressively pursue and to go after that relationship. Because you have an experiential personal knowledge and understanding of who he is in your world. Then you have the ability to neglect sin from behind. And neglect shame that keeps banging on your door. And neglect the bad influence that keeps slamming your door. Folks, I don't care if you're a teenager or you're in your 80s. Bad company corrupts good character. That's not a teenage verse. We do know that teenagers do have more sense to be accepted. But I have seen elders leave faith and leave relationship based on a bad influence. I have seen marriages come to disaster because they took counsel, bad counsel from those who have no idea who Christ is. And that has destroyed their lives. Man, where is our pursuit? Where is our aggressive action towards knowing him? So that we can get to the point to say the one thing that I do is I have neglected purposefully, on purpose, left behind. So that I can press forward and move ahead. Folks, when we understand what it is to have a mind that is set on heaven, when we understand what Paul says throughout the epistles, throughout his writings to the church, over and over and over, right here in Philippians 3, verse 20, for our citizenship, where's your citizenship, folks? We look at maybe, possibly New York, maybe America, maybe otherwise, and we look at this, but Paul says this, our citizenship, the place that we belong, our home, is in heaven. Now look at where he is. How can he say from a place of prison that I am reaching for, that I'm pumped about what's ahead? I can't wait to get home. Folks, his mindset wasn't prison. His mindset wasn't even things that are on this earth. He made it very clear. Listen, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. It's better for me to live on for you, but man, it is my desire to be at home with the Lord. That was Paul's mindset. Man, you get this, gang. When you know Christ, everything changes. When you come to the reality of who Jesus is and what he's done and a surrendered life to him, everything changes. Your residence changes. Your citizenship changes. You're no longer worried about things of this earth. You are just bent. You are pressed. You are aggressively pushing. I can't wait to get home. Man, I will do the work that God's called me to do here. But man, I cannot wait to be in the presence around the throne with the 10,000s and 10,000s of angels crying out, "Worthy is the Lamb." Gang, that's his desire. That's why he can say, "Man, I could care less what is happening now. My eyes are bent towards heaven." Man, I get the picture. That's what he said. I press on towards the goal. My target is the prize. And the prize is heaven. And he says, "Man, I'm running this race and I'm going with everything I've got. Because I have set my mind." Look at this, verse 20, chapter 3:20, Philippians. "For the citizenship is in heaven," which "also we eagerly wait for a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Eagerly wait. Can't wait to get home. His mind was on heaven. Flip a couple pages. Colossians 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 3. I just want you to read this. It will be up on the board. Look at what it says. Verse 1. Colossians 3. "Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ," if you know Jesus Christ, mindset, this is where we're at. If you have a relationship with Christ, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is. Look what he says. Be persistent. Gang, you need to come to a place to forget and neglect what is behind and keep pursuing, keep seeking, keep going after. Look at what it says. The things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. He says, set your mind on things above. Well, what's that? Heaven. When's the last time you seriously set your mind, you fixed on purpose your mind towards heaven? Can't wait to get home. Glorious. No more pain. No more shame. No more sorrow. No more hurt. God himself is going to wipe the tears from my eyes. Man, I can't wait to be in the very presence of God, seeing my Savior, that relationship that I have with him. Can't wait to see him face to face. Can't wait to worship him with the angel. Man, I long for home. I can't wait to be home. Folks, that's the result of our faith. That we have a place. There's two places, heaven and hell. I'm pumped. I'm going to heaven. I'm juiced that my eyes were open, that Jesus Christ died for me. The alternative is hell, damnation, always, forever separate from the glory of God. Aren't you pumped that the alternative is heaven because of what Jesus did for you? Listen, we deserve hell, but because of what Christ did for us on the cross, what we just celebrated in communion, that's our ticket, man. That's our way to be in the very presence of God. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father. Nobody gets to heaven except through me." I'm juiced that I'm that, man. I'm pumped that I'm the one who said yes to Christ and no to the world. I get it. Heaven, I am heaven bound. That's my home. I'm no longer a part of hell. That is not my place, based only on what Jesus did for me. And man, Paul got that, man. He understood. And that was his target. And that was his prize. He said, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. How could Paul get through losing his whole social status, losing his financial base? How could Paul get through the whippings and the beatings? How could Paul get through the shipwreck? How could Paul, man, every turn he's getting arrested? Because he knew, man, that's earthly things. My mind is an eternal mindset. All of that is rubbish. All of that is temporary. All of that is a breath. Paul knew. Heaven is my citizenship. Heaven is my home. Now look at this. Come on, 2 Corinthians 5. Real quick, we got to hit this. Folks, I don't think we preach on heaven enough, to be honest with you. As I pray and I have just seeking the Lord, we're going to talk about heaven more and more and more this year. Because it's our prize, man. It's our goal. It's what Christ has given us through his blood. Now look at this. Verse 6, "Therefore, being always of good courage, being bold and confident," always being bold, always being calm. What gives us that confidence? "And knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith." This is our trust and belief, not by sight. "And we are of good courage." We are of a boldness and a confidence. Gang, you in Christ need to be confident. You in Christ, we are not to go by the confusion of this world. We will go through circumstance and we will go through suffering at times just as the world does. But we will handle it as Christians differently. We will not be confused by what the world has. We know that there's darkness out there. We know that this is a very perverse generation. We know and expect things to get worse. That's not going to confuse us because we understand who God is. We recognize that that is not my hope. My hope is in Him. My hope, I have an eternal hope, and this world is a breath to me. That's our confidence, gang. We're not to walk in confusion as the world walks. Now look at this, is great. For we are of good courage, and I say, I prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. Paul got this. He knew, man, when I am out of this shell, I'm home. And it's amazing because I'm preparing this message this week. Me and Ethan are coming home from the church. He doesn't know what I'm preaching. Man is seven. And on the way home on the river road, he starts asking me questions about heaven. I'm like, what? What happens to our bodies, Dad? Our bodies in heaven? And what, you know, I mean, he just starts going over. His mind is just mystery, man. He's just going on. And here I'm preparing on heaven, and I can't remember the last time he asked me a question about heaven. He's like, Dad, tell me about heaven. Well, I'd love to, son. I've been preparing this for, come on, this is perfect timing. Good timing, because I'm well prepared, man. This is what heaven is, and this is how we get there, and this is what Jesus did for you. Man, this is what happens in heaven. We will rejoice. And he's just getting juiced in the seat next to me. He's getting pumped about heaven. Gang, where's our excitement about home? Where's our excitement to know that death has no sting on me? Man, Romans 14, amazing. If we would just get this, Romans 14, 8. Man, if I live, I live for Him. If I die, I die for Him. Therefore, whether I live or I die, I'm His. That sums it up. That's everything. If I live, I'm His. If I die, hey, I'm home. I'm His. Therefore, I get it. Whether in life or in death, I'm His. I belong to Him. Man, life is short. It is a breath. And if you and I would recognize that, what fear do we have? Why are we confused? Why are we not walking in boldness and confidence? Why is it that we, as a church at times, walk with our heads down in absolute embarrassment? Are you kidding me? Come on, people. This is a year that we rise up in prayer and we are confident to know. Listen, take my life. I belong to Him. This life is short. I get it. My reward is in heaven. And I come to a place to be absent from this body. The shell will go in the ground, but I shall live in eternity, always forever with Him in His presence. That is life. Man, that is my goal. That is what I'm going after. Man, I was with Al Batt this morning. He said the most amazing thing, and I haven't any idea what I'm preaching. He said, Sean, sometimes people just put their stakes way too far in the ground. Meaning we just put way too much stock into this life. And we have lost the prize, man. We've lost the target. We've lost the picture. That home is heaven. Folks, when is the last time you set your mind on things above? Look at this, verse 8. For we are of good courage, and I say, prefer rather to be absent from the body. Man, this was his heart, to be home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether to be home or absent. Folks, is this your ambition? Is this your passion? Is to be pleasing to the Lord? Folks, that has to be your passion. Day after day in your time of prayer, day after day as you get on your face before the Lord. Folks, I'm constantly praying over my family first. Then I pray over my team second. And I pray over you, the body of this church, Believers Chapel, third. God, that we would walk worthy of you. God, that we would please you in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in your knowledge and being strengthened according to your glorious might. Colossians 1. Pleasing Him in all respects, everything we think, everything we say, and everything we do, covering my family, the team that serves this church, and the individuals who serve as the body of this church, that God, it would be our passion, it would be our ambition to please you in all we do, knowing, he goes right into the reward, folks. I wasn't planning on this, but verse 10 says this, for we must all appear, but why is it that we want to please him in everything? Because we're going to stand, the church, the Christian, will stand before him in judgment. Not based on our sin, but based on what we've done to please him. That's the judgment for the believer, based on our deeds. We lived for the flesh, have we lived for the things of this world? Have we set our mind so much on the things of this world that we haven't set our mind towards the things above? Come on, let's bow our heads, please. Folks, what is it that you know in your life this morning that you're holding on to? That's not allowing you to press on. Is it sin? Is it shame? Is it fear? Is it an influence from somebody? Is it finances? Relationships? What is it that you know have dug deep roots in you that you're holding on to that's not allowing you to press forward? It's taking your mindset away from heaven. Taking your mindset of the desire, the ambition to please Him in all that you do. Folks, Paul said, the one thing that I do is neglect that which is behind. Man, I leave it alone. I pay no attention to it. I lose it out of my mindset. What is clouding your mindset, folks? That's taken the place where we are to set our mind towards home. We're to set our target, man, our goal, the prize. It's heaven. Last time you thought about just the glory of God and going to heaven, can't wait to get home. But in the meantime, I will do everything I can here while I am present to please Him. I will set my mind towards things above, so that I can neglect and leave alone the things of the past. Father, we just asking that you just pinpoint this message this morning. God, this year, 2014. God, if we get this, that we will press on. We will be aggressively pursuing you, and we will be aggressively pursuing heaven, taking hold, making you our own, and making heaven our own, pressing on and taking hold of Christ and heaven. God, regardless of the ups and the downs, regardless of the hurt, pain, suffering, regardless of victory after victory, this year, God, at the end of the year, if we set our mind towards you, this year will be a victorious year. This year we will see change in lives, our own lives and lives around us. Change. Because you'll see, God, we have a whole ambition and desire just to please you. Not here to please man. I'm here to please you. That's our goal. That's our passion. That's our ambition. Knowing that we have taken hold of you, and that we have made heaven our own. That's our prize. Folks, as Brennan sings this last song, I'm asking that you would begin the process. It's not a one-day deal, but you begin the process of neglecting the past. You continuing to pay no attention. You continue to pay no mind to it. When the enemy brings it up, pay no mind to it. Don't give any credence to it. When the enemy brings up the past, pay no mind to it. When he brings up all of your success, man, success can be an absolute trap. When the enemy brings up all your, you remember who you used to be? Remember you had this? Remember, pay no mind to it. Pay no attention to it. Forget what lies behind. Man, aggressively reach for the prize. Man, take hold of heaven. Heaven is my home. Heaven is my goal. In life or in death, I belong to you. Everything I am is yours. That's my prize. Man, begin the process today, folks. If anybody needs prayer for any reason, man, I'd love to spend time praying for you. If you are sick, we will anoint you with oil and we will pray over your body. Man, if you are confused, set the record straight. Truth conquers confusion. Man, you've got decisions. We want to pray for you. Man, as he's singing, you want prayer? Come on up. Hallelujah.